Hello and welcome to the latest installment of PSG Talking. I'm your host Ed, and on today's show we're recapping PSG's thrilling draw against Le Havre, and we look ahead to Wednesday's Champions League clash against Borussia Dortmund. First, let me remind you that if you enjoy this show, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review if you listen via Apple Podcasts. You can also subscribe for free to PSG Talk Extra Time on Substack, and as always, visit PSGTalk.com for all your Paris Saint-Germain news. All right, let's bring in my guest now. We have Ethan from PSG Fan Club Boise. Ethan, it's been a while since we talked. I believe you went and you got married recently, so congratulations on tying the knot. How was married life? How's everything else going on your end?
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I got married two weekends ago in Arizona down near where my parents live. It's been good. Yeah, good. You know, like I said, just 2 weeks in, but it's been real fun, real nice. We are haven't done the honeymoon yet. We're going to be in Western Europe, and we are going to a PSG match in May, just in a couple weeks. So we will be at the last Liga home game of the year on May 11th. So that should be when they do the trophy lift. And probably Mbappe's last home match, so it should be fun. She's not as fun for that or excited for that. She's looking forward to all the shopping in Paris. But yeah. You know, I'm dragging a buddy along, my buddy that I see when I normally go to Paris. So at least we'll have fun at the match. But yeah, thanks for asking. It's been good, and yeah, we haven't talked in a while. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming back on. I think that's the match against Toulouse, right? Is that the last home match?
It is could against be Mbappe's Toulouse.
Last yep. Match at the park.
Yep. Yeah.
In a PSG shirt, you know, if he goes to Real Madrid, we may play them.
Yeah,
you know, just real quick before we get started, I had someone reach out to me about, you know, just kind of general tips for someone going to the park for their first PSG game. And I said, you know, get there early, you know, probably no less than an hour early, you know, make sure you enter through the right, you know, entry point. Otherwise, you'll have to walk around the stadium and that sort of thing. And, you know, and this sort of applies to American sports. You never leave at halftime to get anything to drink or eat because you're going to miss the start of the third quarter or the second half or whatever it might be. Yeah. So, but just any other tips for anyone listening out there going to their first PSG match?
Yeah. Other than get there early, I would say, you know, not really match related, but If you've got time to kill the day in one of the days before or after the match, then do the stadium tour. It's kind of nice. Yeah. You can sign up online at the club's website. I think the stadium tour is nice. You get to see a lot of the history of the club. You get to walk basically not onto the pitch, but your pitch side at the park. So I do like that. But yes, yeah, certainly do not get up at halftime. don't leave your seat. You'll definitely miss the match, especially because we're used to in American sports, halftime is normally 20, 25 minutes for a lot of sporting events. In football, it's just 15. So yeah, you'll definitely miss stuff if you get up. So get comfy, get there early, get a water, water bottle before the match. And I recommend getting food outside of the park.
Yeah.
They have a lot of good hot dog and burger options. Haven't tried the food inside the stadium, at least not recently. So yeah, just get there early, get food before, get a water once you get inside, and then just know you'll be sitting in your seat the whole time. Yeah,
we need you to do a food tour of the Parc des Princes. Like, just go around, you know, taste the food, shoot a video. We'll do a whole series on the YouTube channel. Ethan eats food at the park. Anthony Bourdain of PSG food.
Yeah, that's funny. if I was going to be there for two matches, then I'd probably be down to do that. But at this next one, you know, my wife, she's never been to Paris, never been to the park, of course. Ooh. And so really, and we've got pretty nice seats. We'll just be eight rows up from the pitch, pretty close to one of the corner flags. So when Mbappe is going down the left wing at any point in the game, then he'll be right there. We'll be right up and close to him. So yeah, it'll be cool. But maybe the food thing. Yeah, I probably have to wait for another trip. I mean, I don't want to be walking around the stadium while she's sitting in her seat the whole time. But
hopefully Mbappe plays in that match. I can't imagine Luis Enrique wouldn't being his last game.
Yeah, I've thought about that. And unless he's suspended, I would guess, you know, I could see him not playing the whole match. But he'd probably get some minutes. Yeah.
There you go. All right, so we are recording this episode just minutes after the final whistle, where PSG had to come from behind. Actually, they were two goals down. They came back, and they drew 3-3 against Le Havre at the park. Let's start with what actually happened right before kickoff, and that was Nasser Al-Khelaifi. He presented Warren Zaire-Emery with a kit with 2029 on the back, signaling that the 18-year-old has extended his contract for 5 more years. Ethan, I want you to just sort of talk about the importance of signing Zaire-Emery long-term. We've been waiting for this. It wasn't like it was a big mystery, but it's finally official. They announced it. So just talk about the importance of having a player like him at the club for 5 more years, and then what it could mean for PSG in this soon-to-be post-Mbappe era.
Yeah, great. Good setup there. Yeah, it's, you know, if you followed PSG at all in the past 10, 13 years, in the QSI era especially, we've had a lot of proven youth academy guys, a lot of proven talents come through the youth academy. And because of the whole bling bling era that we've typically been in and QSI wanting to spend big, a lot of those guys have not got a chance to shine and they've had to go elsewhere. Kingsley Coman, Nkunku, Manyen, just to name a few, and I'm probably forgetting, 10 off the top of my head.
Adrien Rabiot.
There's a lot.
Moussa Diaby.
Diaby, that's kind of who I was trying to think of as well. Yeah, so a lot of quality guys, and it's just they haven't really got that opportunity to shine. So the fact that PSG's been more youth-focused the past couple of years, especially I'd say the last two, I think has been really good. So Warren Zaire-Emery, he was estimated to make something like $250,000 a year before this extension, because it was his first pro contract. I'm not even sure if it was a pro contract, but it was, really, he was easily the lowest paid key player on the team. And I'm hoping that he's making, I talk about the finances of PSG a lot. This is like the one time that I'll say, no, I hope we actually spent a lot of money on this one because he totally deserves it. He's the future of the club. Warren Zaire-Emery sort of blowing up for PSG really, it signals that we're ushering in a new era, and it's not just going to be buying big stars who might not want to be there kind of thing. And so having a guy like that, he clearly loves the club. He's been there since I think he was 11 or something, maybe 14. He's been there a long, long time. And we've seen the photos of him as a kid in a PSG jersey when he was probably like 7. So having a guy that just absolutely loves the club, homegrown, Paris born and raised, it's awesome to see. So I hope that we get the extension of some guys like Mayulu soon in the future, Ethan Mbappe if he wants to stay. Those are other guys who were born and raised in Paris. And it's just good to see that we're taking, the youth academy seriously for once. And that's what a lot of PSG fans have said for a long time. If we had focused on the youth academy, then, short term we maybe wouldn't have done as well. But after a couple years, in the QSI era, we maybe could have had some really, really strong teams, or at the very least, had these guys play and then they blow up for us after giving them due time to develop. And then maybe we sell them for a huge profit. So, but obviously we all know we kind of haven't done that. But moving in the right direction in this way, more of a youth focus. It's a much more sustainable way to run a football club. So that's my instant reaction to that extension. Love to see it. And I'm sure, it's crazy. I think he's going to be 23 or 24.
Yeah, 23 when that contract ends.
So he won't even be in his prime yet in 2029. So in the 2030s is when he's really going to be on big contracts for us, and he's going to be at his prime. So really, we're just getting started with him. And we see all these guys. I mean, we think in our head that, guys like Vitinha and Nuno, they're younger, but we think they're 24 and 22, I think. Warren Zaire-Emery just turned 18 6 weeks ago. And just to think that we're going to have a really solid midfielder. He's been solid for us this year, not amazing all the time. Obviously, that goal against Dortmund was probably the most important goal of the year so far. But outside of that, he's been solid, not mind-blowing. But that's okay. You don't expect that from an 18-year-old. So as long as he develops a little bit every year, then, we're going to be in a great spot.
Yeah, right now I'm looking on Transfer Market. They've got his market value at about €60 million. I don't know if if PSG would have, you know, had to break the bank to sign him in this contract. I don't know what his wages are. He's probably mid-tier in the club, and it's really going to be the next contract where I think he's really going to cash in if he continues to progress. But, you know, he's going to feature in the France national team. A lot of, you know, casual fans maybe don't know the name Warren Zaïre-Emery, but I expect over the length of this contract, he's going to go from a name that mostly PSG and maybe kind of football analysts who really dive into the game, like we all know who he is and know how good he is. In this 5 years, in the time of this contract, he's going to go from where he is now to, I think, Premier League clubs are going to know all about him and their fans. And so I think he's going to be a household name. And then that's when we're going to spend a lot of the money. I also think, you know, let's not forget Mbappe is sort of the face of PSG. He's got the goal scoring record. We all love him. But he came from, you know, he played at Monaco, but Zaïre-Emery came up through the youth system at PSG. He is homegrown. He's exactly what, you know, Barcelona, what they do with a lot of their young players. And so Warren Zaïre-Emery is really ours, and he's not going anywhere. Like you mentioned, some of those other players have gone off. And so this really does signal a new post-Mbappe era where we're going to grow these young players. We're going to keep them at the club. We're going to give them an opportunity. And it seems like Luis Enrique is more than happy to give these players an opportunity to show what they can do. So I personally am very excited. I know everyone, oh, you're losing Mbappe. You know, it's going to be down the toilet for PSG. But the future couldn't be brighter. And Warren Zaïre-Emery is certainly a big reason for that. So when they announced that, it was kind of a surprise with the 2029 kit. It was the fireworks going off. The fans were singing. And I just, not only what he does on the pitch, but he grabs the megaphone. He sings with the ultras. He gets the culture of the club. He wants to be here. He's got it in his blood. So he's just the perfect face of the club. And I can't wait. I mean, I guess my next question on this, Ethan, is do you think next season he's the captain? Do you think that maybe Marquinhos either moves on or relinquishes that? Do you think Zaïre-Emery steps up, takes the captaincy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with no, because at the beginning of the season and early on in the season, you and I talked a couple times, and a lot of fans were talking about maybe it's time to move off Marquinhos. Marquinhos has been real solid for us this year. I can't see the club moving off of him next year. He hasn't certainly been like the best defender in the world, but in big moments, we haven't seen a lot of the mistakes that he's kind of known for, that, you know, a couple Champions League moments in the past where, and it wasn't even that he screwed up, it was just that the ball didn't fall his way, you know, and he was sort of the guy that was left there getting blamed for a conceded goal. But we haven't seen hardly anything like that from Marquinhos this year, so I don't think he'll leave. I think he should be the captain, or he will be the captain next year. But PSG does this funny thing. I don't know how many other clubs do this. If you look at our first team squad, it'll go, you can look at guys, it'll go captain, vice captain, and then we have a third and a fourth captain. Mbappe is currently listed as the fourth captain. So when he's got the captain's armband on, that means that Kimpembe, who hasn't played all year, Danilo or Marquinhos are on the pitch. So it wouldn't surprise me if Warren Zaïre-Emery becomes third or fourth captain next year, but and I don't think Danilo should be vice captain next year. I think he's just regressed a bit, so maybe vice captain at best, but no, I don't think he'll be the primary captain. But it'd be cool to see him get one of those four spots if that's the method they're going to keep for next year.
You probably want your captain to at least be of drinking age here in the U.S., an 18-year-old captain. Yeah, maybe wait a couple years, but if anyone could do it, it would be him, because he does not play like an 18-year-old. He plays like a grizzled veteran. Again, his physical stature is just incredible, the way defenders bounce off of him, the way he can command the midfield. So he plays well beyond his years. But yeah, let's give him a couple more years before we give him the yellow armband. But yeah, vice captain or maybe third-tier captain, something like that, certainly could be in the cards for next season. All right, Ethan, let's go ahead and dive into this match. Oh man, what a match it was. It ends 3-3. At one point, PSG late were down 3-1. They had to battle back. They had late goals from Hakimi and then Ramos there in stoppage time. We'll just start with a simple question. What did you like from this match and what didn't you like?
Yeah, simply put, my favorite thing in the match is that no one got hurt, because that was the most important thing.
I know they brought in Mbappe, I said, here it goes. He's going to roll his ankles. I know, he's going to blow a knee, something.
Gosh, I just think back to, I think, the Coupe de la Ligue final in the COVID year against, I think, Saint-Étienne. And I can't remember the name of that really old guy. He's retired now. He was like their 37-year-old captain at the time. And he got Mbappe to roll his ankle real bad. It was like a red for the Saint-Étienne player, I believe. And then Mbappe probably wasn't 100% the rest of the season. So when he was playing in the Champions League final, I would suspect that his ankle wasn't 100%. And, you know, probably wouldn't have been the difference between winning that final. But it could have been. You know, we'll never know. And so, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Just, why did we bring him on if he gets hurt right now? I will say this. Some of these teams in France, they don't like PSG a lot. Well, none of them like PSG because we're the team to beat always. But some of them are thinking that some of them would not hate to screw up our season. You know, if we were playing Marseille right here, we would have seen just some of the most horrific tackles ever against some of our players because they're trying to wipe us out. Very true. And so I do appreciate that a lot of these players now, though, on other teams, I feel like they've been a little more aware recently, and maybe it's just because of all the injuries that Neymar had, because we've seen how good Neymar is and how crucial he was in a lot of these Champions League games for us. But he was just hurt. He was always getting these nasty tackles on him and wasn't available as much. But I do appreciate how a lot of these teams are, you know, they're going to play hard, but they really are trying to make sure that Mbappe and our other key guys aren't getting hurt. They're not trying to hurt our players for the most case. So I felt like I saw a little bit of that today. You know, they played hard. But yeah, every time a player went down, even just like when Ramos went down near the end of the match, I was like, oh, don't let it be serious. So that was my favorite thing, no injuries. What I did not like is, you know, and the right side of the defense, Marquinhos, Hakimi, those are our normal two starters on that side. And I feel like Lhav just caught us out of position a good amount, despite those guys being there. And their first goal came on their left, which is where those two probably should have been. So defensive positioning not great. I've already mentioned Danilo had a bad game. He's really regressed this season. Kind of a bummer to see. But yeah,
for that first goal, Lhav had some really nice one-touch passing. Yeah. Maybe it caught us off guard. I thought the defense was just watching the ball a little bit more. Yeah. But then when they switched the play, it was so comical. Like all four of our defenders were like, oh crap, we left a guy wide open. They're all like sprinting over. And then I think it was O'Perry who got the goal. He was just wide open on that side of the pitch on the left side. Yeah, it was just comical watching our defense just sprint over.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and I feel like it was, they got us ball watching just a bunch, like you already mentioned, but I feel like a lot of times during the match, we were pressing pretty well in, you know, their midfield when they were in our attacking third. But a couple times I look back and I just see the two center backs sitting there and in the box, and there's three Lhav players waiting for a cross. And it's like they have a numerical advantage right now. If they're able to just whip in something half accurate, then they might make something of that. I saw our defense all over the place today. So I think a lot of that has to be Danilo just struggling and Beraldo playing out of position again.
But yeah, still, we heap a lot of praise on Beraldo, but he's had a couple of stinkers, and you're right, he's playing out of position. And so it's hard to blame him too much. Again, he came in January, but yeah, not a great performance from him. And then Danilo especially, he gave away the penalty. What did you think about that penalty? I thought it went to VAR. I thought it was a good decision, but
yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, I did as well. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like super, super gnarly foul, but if in any other part of the pitch, it's a foul. He got there late. He didn't get there, you know, he didn't make contact with the ball at all on that one, actually. He just got the guy's foot. And yeah, definitely a penalty for sure. But last thing, I don't want to ramble on too long about that. I want to give you time to talk. But one other thing that I did like from this match that was really, really stood out to me is, and I've been talking about him all year, Gonçalo Ramos. Got an assist, got that late goal. The guy is just so good. And we talked about at the beginning of the season where at the end of matches when the tactics haven't worked and you just got to, you know, tactics are out the window essentially. If you just can get an accurate ball into the box, then a guy like Gonçalo Ramos is going to get his head on it. More
that header was phenomenal.
That header was amazing,
world class. I mean, Harry Kane couldn't have done better.
One of my favorite goals of the whole season. Yes. I love seeing Gonçalo Ramos score headed goals. Reminds me of Cavani, and
Cavani-esque.
That's the way I like football to be played personally, and I know we don't play that way. We're not a team that wins aerial duels, and we don't win with aerial superiority at all. We're actually near the bottom of most of those kind of statistics in the Champions League and even in Liga. But I love goals like that. So that was, love to see it. He stands out. I mean, he has a greater, I think, goals and assists per 90. I think he's like top 15 in the world so far, like this season. So that's just telling you, even with Mbappe on the pitch, when he's clearly not going to be the main man when Mbappe's on the pitch, because, I mean, Mbappe is the best attacker in the world, best player in the world. But even despite that, and of course, Gonçalo Ramos is on a team that can feed him a good amount, but I've mentioned we're not great at crossing, our deliveries aren't amazing, but he's still putting up numbers that if he had played Mbappe's number of minutes on this season, he would be, I think we'd be talking about him as, he'll be top 10 in the Ballon d'Or voting kind of a thing. So,
He's got 10 goals and 25 league on appearances. Again, he's not starting all these matches. He's coming in as a sub primarily.
Yeah.
And then 3 goals in the Coupe de France. So
when
he gets an opportunity, he's banging them in. And, the goal that he scored, let's not forget about Kangin Lee with great service there, just put it right where it needed to be.
Yeah.
So let's give him a shout. I thought he had a good game. And then you said, oh, Gonçalo Ramos had an assist. I mean, what an assist that was. He gets the ball. He holds it up. He looks around and he plays Hakimi, who's running in. I mean, how many other teams are having their striker playing the right back for a goal? I mean, it's something that's sort of unique to PSG. And I just thought that play was phenomenal. So both the assist and the goal were just exceptional from Gonçalo Ramos.
Yeah, they were both really good. And I'm trying to look up a stat here on the fly.
That's okay. And I just felt time. I mean, and it was also at a crucial time. Yes, it's Le Havre. Yes, they are battling relegation. But PSG were down 2 goals. There were 10 minutes left. And he picks out the pass to Hakimi, and then he scores the header to equalize. And so they were important goals. I mean, we want to keep that streak going. And, PSG didn't clinch the 12th league on title in history, but a draw certainly helps. So hopefully next match the PSG can get it done. But I just wanted to underscore that it was at a crucial time in the game when he stepped up.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find the stat. Okay, so I think after this site hasn't updated, but whenever it does, then as far as goals and assists, and he only has 1 assist on the year. It was that one today. But even just with 1 assist, Ramos is like top 40 in the world for goals and assists per 90. As far as actual goals, he is, again, this is not updated, but he is 15th. And he scored again today. So I imagine he's going to – I mean, the guy is like a – he's scoring at a rate that's top 15 in the world, and the guy is not even getting highlighted as the focal point or the target man. So, can't say enough about him.
Yeah, at least not this season. But I expect a big season from him next year. In PSG, they paid 65 million euro for him. So that's a hefty transfer fee that they paid to Benfica. So I think Luis Campos and Luis Enrique, they knew what they were getting, and this is, we're just getting a little appetizer of what he is capable of. And I think next season is going to be just off the charts for Gonçalo Ramos with Mbappe moving on. And that sort of transitions me into what I liked and what I didn't like. I'll start with what I didn't like. I thought when I saw the starting lineup, I thought, good, Randal Colomwani getting the start. Le Havre, they're bottom of the table, basically. He's going to get some goals. We need to get his confidence going. And he did absolutely nothing in this match. He subbed out in after an hour. No goals, no assists, no shots. Couple accurate passes, but no chances created. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Ethan. I mean, did he do anything that jumped off the screen to you that you thought he was playing well? I thought he was largely absent for an hour in this match.
Yeah, I can't remember him doing anything. I'll try looking up the numbers right now, but
yeah,
see if any if I'm missing like a chance that he created. But
if there ever was an opportunity to do something, it was in this match.
Yeah, yeah, and I think at this point, if I'm Luis Enrique for next season, Ramos has got to be your nine. You know, and Comoani's not even a nine technically, but it's just he hasn't been. You know, you're not going to play him over Simons, Barcola, or Dembele on the wings by any means. So, yeah.
What do you do with him? I guess that's my question too. What do you do? Because what was it, 90 million or something like that to Frankfurt? I mean, you're not going to recoup that. So
no, you're not.
You sit him on the bench?
Okay, no successful dribbles. One touch in the opponent's box. Only had 14 passes. Two recoveries and defense. Yeah, it really bad game from him. So
I mean, he had the same number of shots that you and I had, and he played an hour. What are we doing here?
Oh, man. Yeah.
And I like him as a player. I want him to do well. I was like, all right, this is it.
I'm totally with you. I want him to do well. He loves PSG. It's been his team since he was a kid. But yeah, he's making it hard on himself, just not breaking out. And you know, I'm just hoping that, and I feel the same way. And I don't think Ugarte has been nearly as poor by comparison. But Ugarte and Colomwani are two guys that we need to see make really big strides next season, the way that Vitinha did this season. Otherwise, and I'm not of the opinion to sell a player after 1 year, especially when, like I said, Mbappe's been the focal point of attack all the time. It's why Ramos isn't, I'm going to be on the Ballon d'Or shortlist when he would have been had he played all year. And it's the same way that I think Colomwani is struggling a bit. Now, I think Colomwani plays better with Mbappe. It's why Colomwani has many more assists than Ramos this season. Colomwani is just kind of, you know, he and Mbappe have played each against each other and with each other for long enough now. Going back to, you know, before this season, of course, with France. And I mean, we all remember the World Cup that they had in 2022. But even with that, I want to give him a second year. You know, he should have a second year here. But if we don't see pretty drastic improvements, then we got to phone it in on him, I think.
He might get the Carlos Soler treatment. Yeah, if you string together a couple of seasons where you're not playing well. It was actually 95 million euro that PSG paid to Frankfurt. And Frankfurt actually got him on a free transfer.
Yeah, I think that's including bonuses and everything. Yeah, I couldn't hear you what you just said right there. I hope you didn't say exactly what I'm going to say. I'm pretty sure it's like our fourth biggest transfer.
No, I was just saying that Frankfurt actually got him on a free transfer from Nantes.
From Nantes, they did.
Yeah, and then turned him, you know, 95 million. And so, PSG are never going to recoup that.
That's my fear about buying attackers from the Bundesliga. A lot of great attacking quality, but the defenses aren't as good as there is in Liga. So it's a scoring league. It's like the Big 12. If anyone watches college football, it's like the Big 12 of European football. Just scoring galore, not a lot of defense. So that's the risk you're taking, I think, when you get a guy from the Bundesliga. And I don't have anywhere near the same fear with Xavi Simons when he comes back, but he's been a guy who hasn't really ever. I mean, last year he played in the Eredivisie, which is probably the sixth strongest league as far as quality, maybe seventh. I mean, Portugal and Netherlands are both really strong leagues, probably just behind the Big Five. But then this year, of course, he's been really doing well. But again, it's in the Bundesliga. If he had been doing this in Serie A with these same numbers, I would probably be far, far more impressed. And of course, Xavi Simons has impressed everyone, but
led the Eredivisie in scoring, if I'm not mistaken, and playing well. And, and to your point, should we Victor Osimhen in Serie A? Is he, you know, could you maybe bring him in?
I think he wants to go to the Premier League. And at this point, I think Ramos has shown that he can clearly be so good. So,
No, I'm with you. And then I just want to give a shout to Bradley Barcola. He had this like pretty incredible aerial acrobatic attempt that ended up, I think, one of his teammates ended up blocking it.
Yeah.
But it was just impressive in like slow motion. It just shows you how athletic he is. We always talk about he's got these long rangy legs and he was able to like get up and get to the ball. So I just thought just athletically, he's just off the charts, and he was able to get a goal assisted by Zaire Emery. Just a nice little cross and easy goal for Barcola. But again, he's young, he's scoring goals. It's exactly what you want to see. I think he's going to play a big part for PSG upcoming against Dortmund and throughout the rest of the season and then into next. I'm so high on Bradley Barcola. Someone like tweeted me and said, you know, this, his stock is rising, and I completely agree. When you talk about him and Zaire Emery, they're just the future. And Xavi Simons, when he comes back, those three really are the future of PSG. So I just wanted to mention him. Was there anything with Barcola that you wanted to talk about? Because I just thought he had a great game. Subbed off at halftime, but up until then, really solid.
Yeah, he had another great game, and I'm glad he was subbed off at halftime because he should start against Dortmund in a couple of days. But yeah, he's been so good, and I love that when I just feel like the way that we built this squad with Simons coming back, and we don't know if he's going to play as an 8 or a 10 or a winger, but him and then Barcola and then Dembele, it's like Campos and Luis Enrique, they built the squad a little bit so that even when Mbappe is gone, you know, we're still going to have a pacey young French winger in Barcola, you know, and that's what Mbappe has been for us for a while. Yeah. We're going to have another pacey winger on the right wing. We're going to have, you know, just a lot of dynamic players in attack. And I think our only real weakness, you know, thing that we aren't going to be strong in attack next year is aerial in the air. So,
which we haven't been since Cavani.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not a huge issue. I mean, clearly it hasn't really impeded us so far this year. I mean, we've even scored a couple headed Champions League goals this year. So yeah, other than that, it's just we're so dynamic, and yeah, guys like Barcola have been great. It doesn't, of course, we're all going to miss Mbappe, but it doesn't feel like, you know, and we've said this a bunch, if we had lost Mbappe in, 2021? Is that when that last contract thing was? And on the final day, he announced he was staying?
I think you're right, yeah.
2021, 2022, whichever one it was. If we had lost him right then, I mean, we'd have been screwed. Now it's just with a guy like Barcola and a couple other, these young guys that we've talked about on this episode.
Yeah.
We feel like we're in such a better spot to live without him, and so it ultimately is a team game, and I'm excited for the future.
I'm still holding out hope that Mbappe sees what Xavi Simons is doing and sees Bradley Barcola, the rise of him, and Zaire Emery is like, maybe I will stick around, maybe I will, and sees all the craziness that continues to go on over in La Liga. I mean, you know, I hold out hope. There's been no official announcement yet, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath, but it could happen. Yeah, I wonder, and some people have hinted this, and I think it's really the only way that he might stay is if we make the Champions League final and lose to Real Madrid. Then remember, I mean, the last time we lost to Real Madrid in the Champions League, Mbappe ended up staying, and. Right. We don't know, but it could have partially been because he's like, well, you guys just beat me. I don't want to, you know, if we lost to them in the final and then he goes there, I mean, he's pulling a Kevin Durant, let's be honest.
It's so bad. He has to understand. He's an NBA fan. He goes, when NBA goes over to Paris, he has to know.
Yeah. That's like, dude, that looks, he's not trying to make it look that way. But it's just going to look so bad. Like, man, you realize that it just looks like you're ring chasing, right? Yeah, so.
Well, and you look at Erling Haaland, he's 1-1 with Manchester City. And I know that Manchester City, they've got Pep, they've got unlimited funds and all of that. But it was still the first Champions League title for Manchester City. So he gets a lot of credit for going there and delivering it. I just think any big player goes to Real Madrid with the squad they have just to win the trophy. You know, a little golf clap. Okay, you got it on your resume. Fine, whatever. But you know, let's stick with the NBA reference here for a second. You look at what Nikola Jokic has done at the Denver Nuggets, infinitely more important to his legacy than Durant's title with the Warriors.
Just, oh, yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
And you know, I'm a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm from Los Angeles. And so it's the same thing. Like the Lakers are essentially the Real Madrid of the NBA. So it's I used to just have the mentality of, oh, like we're the greatest. Like, why would anyone not want to go to the Lakers? And over the past, you know, 5-10 years, especially when the Lakers weren't super good for a bit there, around the end of Kobe's career and then before 2020, I've really come to understand, okay, I kind of get players not just going to the Lakers to continue on the legacy. I'm much more sympathetic to those who don't go to these teams, these, you know, historically great teams. And yeah, so respect to Jokic for that and all these guys. I mean, Giannis the year or two before.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just remember what LeBron said. It's just basketball, Ethan. It's okay. It's just basketball. That's what he said in his post game.
I saw that. Yeah. You know what? I won't comment on this season, but
Let's get back to Lahav here. We'll wrap this one up. So 3-3 PSG. They can't celebrate, but you know the champagne is on ice. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. So PSG top of the table on 70 points. Monaco behind them in second with 58 points. So up next for PSG, we'll preview quickly here the Dortmund match, but the next Ligue 1 match is going to be the one that you're going to be at on May 12th against Toulouse. So something to look forward to. Hopefully it'll be a nice little celebration there. I'm sure we'll hear some more news. So let's move to PSG's next match. So this is going to be on Wednesday, May 1st. PSG travel to Dortmund. We all know what that atmosphere is like. I was just looking up, Dortmund played our friend Javi Simmons in Leipzig today, actually, and Dortmund lost 4-1. Javi Simmons had a really nice assist. Benjamin Sesko, he had a goal. He's a player that I really like a lot. I wouldn't mind seeing him come in. But Leipzig just routed Dortmund 4-1. I think Mats Hummels went off with some kind of muscle injury. Yep. So he's probably a doubt for Wednesday. Who knows? I never like to see injuries, so I'm hoping he can play so we can play Dortmund in full strength. But looking ahead to this one, we know the atmosphere is going to be tough. We know PSG have struggled this season in difficult atmospheres for the most part. So kind of break it down for me. What do you want to see starting lineup-wise? How do you think Luis Enrique is going to want to play this? Is he going to try to get a draw and escape and win it at home? Kind of give me your thought process, how you think this one's going to go.
Yeah, so first thing that I tweeted about this morning that, Xavi Simons has given us the blueprint. We've got the blueprint on how to beat Dortmund, so let's make it happen. But I will point out in that, I hope anyone didn't think that I was trying to be cocky there. Dortmund did sit a couple of their more important players. I'll just list guys that came off the bench for them. Marco Reus, he's turned into more of a rotational guy from what I've remembered. But Sula, we remember that insane Sula clearance off the line in match day 6 of the in the group stages. I'm pretty sure that was Sula, right? That just Mbappe had that. It was a tight angle, but
I'm pretty sure. I think he was right
on goal. It's so funny. My brother, I got him into football during COVID, and he decided to pick Bayern. He liked that they were fan owned, and for some reason, you know, just everyone has. Most people just have like this one player that you just really don't like for some reason, and it's not because they're bad. It's just something you just don't like that player. That's Nicolas Sula for my brother for some reason. And so when Sula had that save off the line, match day 6, my brother was like more upset than me that we didn't score there. So he came off the bench. Bino Gittens and Moukoko came off the bench for them. They also sat Sabitzer. So not a full strength lineup for them, but certainly not a weak one either. But that's the thing. If we've seen in the Bundesliga, if teams play really open, then you can put goals past them. It's how Bayern has dropped a lot of points this year. It's how we've seen Bayern get knocked out of the Champions League by Villarreal. And I can't remember. Oh, yeah, it was us the year before that even. So that one was a little different. But I just think back to the fact that if a lot of these Bundesliga teams, they have a tough time operating and scoring on a low block. Of course, scoring on a low block is hard for any team. I'm not saying that just because we're PSG or just because a team in another country, they're going to score willy-nilly. But I feel like Bundesliga teams historically, have struggled more against that. So I wouldn't hate if we sit back, and I feel like a lot of our, I mean, they only scored one goal against us between our both of our group stage matches, but every single chance that they got, from my memory, is when we were playing open and we were trying to play really aggressive and press and win the ball in the midfield. Now, I know that's kind of the way we play, but and I don't want us to park the bus by any means. That'd be idiotic. But I think we really need to be cautious of just opening up ourselves too much, because I think Dortmund are going to play open enough, especially the first leg. They want to win the first one at home. Otherwise, if they lose the first leg, then they know they're probably cooked. And so I think being a little more conservative and countering a bit more than we have recently, I think that's the key. That's important. We saw in both the group stage matches that, I mean, we got so many chances against them in the first match, and we won 2-0. Second match was 1-1, but we really should have won that probably 3-1, something like that. So, Lucho knows what to do, but I would caution PSG to not go full pedal to the metal the way that we did against Newcastle in the group stage, where we just totally underestimated the opponent. We're like, oh, we'll totally press them, and this will be a flawless press, and they'll just crumble under the constant pressure. No, the home crowd being behind Dortmund is going to help them. So, yeah, let's start cautious. I want to see Ugarte start. I think that's a big thing. But I think I want to have Barcola, Mbappe, and Dembele in attack. That's what I want. I want Ugarte to start. I just think we'll need that extra defender just to stay more defensively compact. And then probably Warren and Vitinha, especially. Vitinha's going to be big, I think. The transition from defense or midfield to attack is going to be, I think, really important in the game, and Vitinha is kind of our guy to facilitate that. So, that's kind of what I would do. I want to know, what are things that stick out to you about this tie and lineups and, anything that I guess I didn't touch on or probably forgot?
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm going to be a little bit brash, and, PSG are going to be favored, the betting favorite. They've got the better team on paper. And I think, okay, you've got the yellow wall. You're going to have the crowd. What's the best way to take the crowd out of it? I think you score goals. And so I think PSG have the overwhelming, they're just favored in terms of the quality that they have going forward with the likes of Mbappe, Barcola, Dembele, Vitinha. I hear Ugarte, I hear the point, and I'm just like, why doesn't PSG just go with what they played with against Barcelona when they went to Barcelona and scored 4 goals? Yes, they went down a defender, but I think that's what you go with. So you've got Barcola, Mbappe, Dembele up front, Fabian Ruiz, Vitinha, Zaire Emery in the midfield. Nuno Mendes, I know he recently picked up a little bit of a knock. He didn't play today. Do we think he might be available on Wednesday?
I bet he – yeah, I'd be really surprised if he didn't play. Yeah.
So I would go with him, Lucas Hernandez, Marquinhos, and Hakimi. So the exact same starting 11. Have Ugarte there just in case if, like, what happened against Newcastle, if your midfield is getting overrun, you could bring him in. But let's go in there and let's push forward. Let's get goals. We – PSG have the advantage going forward, I think. There's really – I mean, who scares you on this Dortmund side scoring goals? Jadon Sancho, he scored today. Okay. Is there anyone else that really, Julian Brandt, maybe?
I think Sabitzer, I might be wrong, but I think he might be something like leading the Bundesliga in assists. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else, but Sabitzer has been, I think, really, really good for them so far this season. So.
Well, I look at the stats for the first match that PSG won 2-0 at the park. Dortmund managed to get one total shot on target. So not ideal there. Then PSG had to go to Dortmund, match day 6, and they scored a goal. They had 6 shots on target. So clearly they play better at home, as most teams do. But still, I mean, only 6, and they had already qualified, which is the other caveat that you have to say. To Dortmund's credit, I will say that, as we say, like in the NFL, beating a team 3 times in one season is difficult. You see them multiple times. So PSG beat them the first time. They drew the second time. Now they're getting it together for a third and fourth time. they're going to be very familiar with each other. They're going to, like, I don't think we're going to be able to surprise them, and they're not going to, it's just going to be lining up. And I just think the better team is going to win and overwhelm. And I think that's clearly going to be PSG. I feel really good about this. And now I say this is going to come back and bite me, but I just think PSG go to Dortmund, silence the yellow wall, bang in three goals and get out of there, maybe 3-1. And then wrap this thing up at the park. I just, you look at the teams on paper, there's just no reason to think Dortmund can pose a serious challenge to this PSG side, who's really in good form right now.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I want to correct myself. It's actually Julian Brandt who's almost leading the Bundesliga in assists.
Yeah, he's a player. Him, Jadon Sancho, those are probably the two that I would be most worried about in terms of, you know, attack. But and you said earlier in the Bundesliga, they don't play a ton of defense. So you have to think if you bring in, you know, Nuno Mendes and Lucas Hernandez, we get our back four solidified. Yeah. You bring in Donnarumma, who's a good shot stopper. We kept on the one total shot at the park early in the season. Why can't we do it again now that I feel like PSG are in much better form?
I would, yes, but I do think Dortmund are as well. And I don't think Niklas Füllkrug played today, but it is weird. If you look at how Dortmund, the numbers, because, you know, I don't watch a lot of them, so I kind of just have to go off of statistics. But Füllkrug is leading them in goals, just with 12, and then Daniel Malin with 11, and then Brandt's in 6. So sort of scoring by committee, you know, they're definitely a team that is – and I'm not going to say they've had the most phenomenal season, obviously. I mean, they're fourth or fifth in the Bundesliga, but – they're a team that's they're greater than the sum of their parts kind of a thing. And but you're right, there's no one that really
and then you look at defensively, say Mats Hummels isn't available, you know Sula had that nice clearance, but I feel like
he's slow. That's my impression of
their defense is just that they're slow. And so at home, okay, you want to come in, this is your Champions League final, you need to come out and score goals. Just have Mbappe hit him on the counter, and which one of the defenders is going to actually keep up with Mbappe and Dembele? That's why I'm thinking, like, the game plan is right there. Okay, come out a little bit, we'll absorb your pressure, and just smack him on the counter and just run past them. I think that's got to be your strategy, and just it's got to be to score goals. I don't think PSG should be timid in this match. No one really expected PSG to get here. You're playing with house money at this point. Go out there and don't be scared. Don't play not to lose, and go out there and win the damn thing. Go score goals. Be proactive on the road.
That's a fair point, but I will say, and I don't want us to play like real timid. I just want us to be cautious of the way that they're going to try and hit us.
I feel like starting Ugarte is an acknowledgement that we're not sure what you're going to do. We need some extra defensive help.
Okay.
Well, that's the way I kind of see it. It's not a bad idea.
That's not the way I see it, but we'll just agree to disagree. But I mean, I don't hate your idea. I'm just thinking I would really not like if, and you mentioned playing with house money.
Yeah.
Yes, but at this point, it'll be kind of a big disappointment if we don't make the final.
And even if PSG lose 2-1, okay, we're going to be upset, but you've got that ace in your back pocket. We're going back to the park, right? And the fans are going to be that stadium's going to be outrageously loud. Yeah. Like, okay, yellow wall, we get it. Okay, but PSG have not had a home semifinal Champions League match in what, how many years with 20, fans in the stadium?
28 years.
So I got to imagine our decibel level is going to be up there. So okay, maybe you drop the first one 2-1, or you know, like PSG lost to Barcelona, and I just feel like that's your ace in the hole. You come back to the park, you're going to win that one. You're going to score goals. So that's why I say go out and just win this in the first leg. Don't be timid.
Yeah, that I hope it happens. That'd be fun. But just both teams have definitely improved since the beginning of the season. And but I think we've improved more, and I think we're the better team on paper. So yeah, I'm with you. I think we'll win. Mm-hmm. If I had to put an estimate on it, probably like 5-3 on aggregate, maybe 4-2. I expect us to win by 2 goals, probably.
I like it. Well, give me a prediction for the first leg in Dortmund. What do you think that's going to be?
First leg. Let's go 2-1 us.
Yeah. I'm going to go 3-1. I like 3-1 to PSG, and it'll be a nice, comfortable, celebratory mood in the return leg. And we'll talk all about that one and preview that match. And I guess in the other side of the bracket, is there a team that you prefer? Do we think we're destined to play Real Madrid, or you think it's going to be Bayern Munich? Who do you think PSG may face in the final if they advance?
Yeah, I think we're destined to play Real Madrid, but I want Bayern to win.
Little revenge.
Like I've mentioned, my brother likes Bayern. So any year that PSG aren't in the Champions League, if I'm going to pick one of the big teams that I'd prefer to win it, then it's going to be them. So also, revenge for 2020 wouldn't suck. So that's what I want. I know most fans are going to want the Mbappe versus his future club kind of a thing, but not me. Although I do think Real Madrid will progress in that. You know,
Bayern, could you imagine?
They both have that Champions League DNA, but Real Madrid have just been so much better through the whole course of the season. And I mean, they beat City, who's maybe the strongest team in the world. So. They'll probably make the final.
Just barely beat them, but they did advance. And oh my goodness, could you imagine Mbappe PSG versus Real Madrid in the final at Wembley? Like, talk about just completing the circle, just completing the arc of Mbappe's career at PSG.
We might have to go to that. You and I have briefly talked about it, but we're going to make a serious effort to be at that final if PSG are in it, regardless of who it is. If it's against Bayern, I'm still going to go. So I'm going to try to go. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull it off, if I'm being honest. But
we'll have to figure. Even if we can't get tickets, just being. But my whole thing is like, if they lose it, and then I'm like, I made all this effort, I'm there, you know, all this money.
Yeah,
but if they win it, then.
And it's the greatest. Yeah, it's just. Because
I'm running through the streets of London screaming.
Yeah, we do that. And then I would probably take the Eurostar the very next morning and go to Paris. And then.
Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine that?
The parade in Paris. Yeah. If I can make it, then. I'll probably schedule my flight, if I'm able to make this, probably out of Paris, because I'll just be like, I'll go to Paris anyway. Worst case scenario, I'll just hang out with my buddy that's there for a bit. But best case scenario is I'm there for the parade, and that would just be – I mean, that'd be the greatest moment in club history. So to be there would be awesome.
It'd be awesome to celebrate and – just everything is coming. I mean, I started PSG Talk almost 10 years ago. I think it was 2015. So like, just everything's coming full circle. It seems like PSG could be the team of destiny, but we've got to take care of Dortmund. It's not going to be an easy task. I just hope that PSG come out, they use the weapons that they have, and they just overwhelm Dortmund. Hopefully it'll be lots of fireworks, lots of goals for PSG, and they can advance through comfortably. So we'll have a lot more. We'll have something on the post game. So that match will be on Wednesday. So get excited for that, but a lot to look forward to. Anyway, Ethan, any final words from you before we let you run?
No, I don't think so. Just excited for the next month. If we're in the final, like you said, got our eyes on this one first. But the final is in about 5 weeks. So,
and you have the Coupe de France final as well. So lots of silverware.
We are getting into go time. Yep. I guess if Monaco don't win tomorrow, they play Lyon at 11 a.m. Mountain Time, you know, for you and I, because we're Mountain Time. They play then. If they don't win, then we've mathematically won Liga. So I'll be probably checking in on that game in the last 10 minutes at the end to see if we're going to win the league then. But we'll be Liga champions pretty soon. So at least the domestic double with Liga and Super Cup. And then, and then at that point, make it to the final. And then we've got a couple Liga games after the semifinals end. You know, like you said, the one I'll be at, and then a couple, two more.
You got Nice and Metz away.
We've got, we've got a couple more at the end. Nice and then Metz, because you know the Nice one got rescheduled. But
that's right. Yeah.
Those just rest everyone. Just play anyone who needs to stay match sharp a little bit. But then it's really just. I mean, it comes down to if we get through this semifinal, then we've got two matches. You know, Lyon and then Bayern or Real Madrid away from, greatest season ever. So
the quadruple.
The quadruple. Yeah.
Because he already got the Trophée des Champions, so it'll be, man, it'll be great. And we're coming up on time, almost an hour. We didn't even talk about, there's been some talk about La Liga maybe playing some matches over here in the U.S. I know that's a topic we've talked about, so we'll have to save that for another time. We'll wait for more news to come out, because I certainly think Liga should definitely consider doing that, but we'll save that for another episode. Ethan, thanks so much for coming on. We'll chat with you again real soon. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. Bye, everyone.